It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world was a time of this and that, I was
young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world something else. Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the offseason. It's what we build our core culture around is being the more physical team. You have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want to check. They don't want physicality. And if you have the check and no physicality, you end up with nothing. So we're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people.
Who said anything about you guys just wanting checks? I mean, maybe a Dodge Charger in the past. But I don't know if that was a criticism of Georgia at any point. By the way, that was Kirby Smart. Like, Georgia's not physical. What happened to that? Who's talking about that with them?
When's the last time someone said that?
Yeah,
like 2016?
So I assume, the year before he got there, I assume he's talking about other teams in the conference because no one was criticizing Georgia for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in a direct shot at Sark or just overall what he sees across college football, that not a lot of teams value physicality anymore. Cut it out, Kirby. Stop it. You won a game, a big one. And you did it in a big way.
He did it for the culture.
Yeah, the culture of physicality, not just looking for
checks. The UGA culture, not the culture.
Yeah, I seen his haircut. He ain't about the culture. All right, in college, and, well, it's the same haircut, to be honest with you, since I knew of him as a safety.
Yeah, his entire life he's had that haircut.
He's had that haircut.
It's really, there must be a certain joy of life of just being like, I don't know, 15, landing on that haircut and being like,
it works for me.
Good for life. You know, no more.
If he wasn't like Georgia royalty, he may have had to change it at some point for a different job, different occupation. But he's Georgia royalty.
No. That's also a very defensive coordinator haircut.
Yeah.
Like, he found his lane. He found the perfect lane in life.
Yeah, you see guys adapt depending on their role in coaching. Like, an OC might look like whatever, and then becomes a head coach, looks differently. Kirby's Kirby.
Yeah, lose the visor, put the visor on, put a cap on.
These are the things he worries
about. Go bald. Nope.
These are he worries about being physical.
Yep. And fourth quarter execution.
And the culture that is.
Man.
They did execute in the fourth quarter.
I thought because they went up early, I was like, oh, maybe
it'll be the reverse.
We won't get second half Georgia.
And when they threw that pick, you're like, hey, look at that. And then you got it almost felt like that pick was like, woke him up. Wait a minute.
Yeah. And then giving up
and
the
then
score.
The touchdown,
and then like, enough of this.
Yeah. we rule second half, particularly the fourth quarter.
Let's
and they
just
did
run
that.
A play action, throw it to the flat. Boom. Every time.
Yeah, that was something going forward on fourth down and it working. That was rough.
They're like a high leverage. I'm not saying merchants, but they're like high leverage experts of like play to play. Like, they'll kind of outplay you, but it'll be pretty close.
They will beat you
and then
in the biggest moments.
Fourth and second or fourth and two. They got that. Yeah. That's all them. They'll never not get that play.
Yeah. Get them in the fourth and nine. Maybe have a shot. All right. Let's get to three callers. We'll get to all of you before we go to break. Let's start with a man who wants to talk some Longhorns. Eric, what's up?
Hey guys, what do y'all think about the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud comparison now? I know everybody was on CJ's bandwagon in the beginning, but Bryce is playing pretty good. And I heard some rumblings that Sark might be on his way out and they're looking for the UH coach, Fritz, or maybe the Texas head coach. I'll hang up and listen.
You're not looking at Joey McGuire or Willie Fritz. Cut it out. You always hear rumblings that are just nonsense. I don't know that many people want to bring up, because it wasn't even a debate once they actually started playing NFL games. I don't know how many people are looking to do the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud thing, other than Panthers fans.
Didn't we do this last year?
Yeah.
And then he played like absolute ass for the first 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we're not doing this again. Now, he had a great game, the three touchdowns, the 400, nearly 450 yards, the comeback win. Tet McMillan caught a big touchdown. That's cool and all. But only like you as a troll, Eric, and like Panther fans are looking to do this.
Yeah. Also, just in general, wrong show to troll about the Houston Texans.
Trust me.
In the city, because you probably won't find two people that care about the steam less.
As far as this type of stuff.
Yeah, as far as like, no, Citrus, no good.
I don't know if you've heard or know this about me. I'm not getting into arguments with rival fans about the quality of the Texans or the players.
I'll just say, as a whole, the fact that we only ever go, do we have to have a conversation about the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud thing after Bryce Young plays well? And then all the other times, we don't really need to have the conversation.
You know, if Bryce,
I think that tells you where the conversation's
at. If Bryce Young rips off four more 400-yard games with three touchdowns, then maybe we'll have a talk.
Yeah.
But until that point happens, and CJ even not playing for the last couple weeks and not having a great year last year and then, let's say, somewhat average this year, above average this year.
It's helped his case, not playing.
Well, I don't know. Davis Mills. It's a big. We would actually have more of a discussion about CJ versus Davis Mills than we would ever have CJ versus Bryce Young. And the CJ versus Davis Mills thing isn't something we would entertain.
No,
Eric.
Although he beats the Bills.
We'll find out if he plays. CJ Stroud. We haven't heard anything about if the symptoms have decreased enough where he can be back on the practice field. We'll, I guess, find that out a little bit today. Eric, wrong show to troll. You should have stuck with the Longhorns. Let's go. Oh, he did. And by the way.
I mean,
that wasn't even a great try either.
I mean, you see what we saw yesterday with Cam Ward, and it's pretty attractive. Yeah, gotta go play with those guys. Gotta go coach them up.
Sark to the Titans.
Huh? What if they instead of running plays that get sniffed out very easily by the Texans defense, they did like three different things of motion. And then it got sniffed out very easily by a Texan Steve.
At least you would know he was doing something. didn't that stat come up? The most pre-snap motion in all of college football? Yeah. How many points did they score against Georgia?
10. Loud ones, though. 10 loud ones.
It did make it a game you could hear.
They scored one touchdown, and Kirby was like, we can't let them get hot.
You heard Chris and Kirk try to get you hyped because now we had a game, and then Georgia's like, no, we don't. Stop that. So this is not a game. Let's get to, I didn't know we would talk about this gentleman, but he did play thanks to the injury to Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur Sanders played, and John wants to talk about it. What's up, John?
What's up, Dale, Sean? I just want to know why we haven't covered the Shedeur Sanders story as much as we had. Miles Garrett's going to sacrifice his son so Shedeur will have an NFL career. And, you know, Deion said, do you believe? And I believe. 4-16, didn't they win that game? I'll shut up and listen. I want everybody to apologize to me. Thank y'all. I'm a Shedeur lover. Mm.
You don't sound like it. Your tone suggests you're not. Yeah.
They didn't win the game.
That's right, Sean. Let's actually answer his question. His sincere question.
They
did not win the game. He was 4-16, threw a pick. You might even say the game turned on Dylan Gabriel's absence. While he wasn't great, and the offense wasn't good either, they did have a lead before he left, and then Shedeur was atrocious. I have not seen, because the TV in the control room doesn't work, I didn't see the morning shows. Right now, Pat McAfee is on, celebrating himself because he got shirtless after Notre Dame Pitt game. I know,
that was huge.
I know it's surprising for him to celebrate himself.
So he got shirtless. Did he stand on a chair?
I don't remember. I mean, that clip I didn't see, but it might have happened. Donald were at the game. So I don't know how much was discussed as far as Shedeur Sanders and his first appearance in a real NFL game. I imagine it may have been pushed aside because the people who like to promote that story as if we're supposed to care about it, it doesn't help them when he doesn't play well. And not just doesn't play well, where he's absolutely awful. So I guess I'll see on ESPN.com if they actually have a clip of Stephen A. and others talking about it. Because right now, it's Eagles talk.
Yeah, and judging by the just front page of the app, the ESPN app, it's a lot of Jamar Chase spitting going on.
Yes, I see Stephen A. saying the NFL needs to send a message to Jamar Chase. He talks about the Eagles and the beatdown of the Lions. No standalone. Of course, Rex Ryan mentioned Shedeur, so there's a clip there.
Was he as supportive as John?
I don't think he even tried to find it,
okay.
I imagine. So there it is. He did play. He played poorly. And whether Myles Garrett will sacrifice a child or not, I don't know. Myles Garrett, another four sacks. while he's chasing after Lamar Jackson, he got 4 sacks. That's who Myles Garrett is. 15 sacks on the year. Look, we got great pass rushers here. Will Anderson, Daniel Hunter.
Don't win the game without Will Anderson.
That's right. He forced the strip sack. He recovered it himself, did he?
Yeah.
And then the Texans, because they can't capitalize on much their defense does, wound up kicking a field goal that gave them the 13-6 lead and looked like it was going to hold up until Cam Ward did what he did on that final drive. But he sacked Lamar Jackson 4 times. There was a pick six by Lamar Jackson, not his fault, bounced off his receiver's hands. It did not matter because the Browns are the Browns, and they lose in part because Shedeur Sanders was playing quarterback. 23-16 the final. The Ravens, who the Texans, of course, beat earlier, are 5-5 as well, so that tiebreaker goes to the Texans. The Chiefs currently are behind the Texans as far as the tiebreaker is concerned. So the Texans, you would say in NCAA terms, first team out. First team out with the Jags winning this weekend. Let's get to Pena before we go to break. Never know what he wants to talk about. It could be anything. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? Hey, I went to go see Predator Badass this weekend, and that's what the movie should have been called instead of Badlands, because it was pretty badass. And if I'm not mistaken, you're a Heat fan, so how do you like Khalil Wears, however you say his name, against Carl Anthony Towns, how do you like that matchup? Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, they played each other on Friday, and Carl Anthony Towns, with the absence of Jalen Brunson, he'll also miss tonight. And then OG Anunoby got hurt in the game. He'll miss quite a bit of time, and that will maybe lead us to a Rocket who's going to miss some time. He lit up the Heat for like 38 points, whatever it was. So they're going to lean on into Carl Anthony Towns because they don't really have any other legit options outside of Mikal Bridges. Of course, Landry Shamet. Not of course, because who was really paying attention? But Landry Shamet went for over 30 in that game. So if we're talking about who to look for, with likely Bam Adebayo missing another game, I mean, maybe play the over or higher, depending on what thing you use with Carl Anthony Towns. He's going to get a lot of opportunities tonight against the Heat. I mentioned OG Anunoby out for a bit. He's going to be reevaluated in a couple weeks. Well, we know, at least right now, the time Tari Eason's going to miss with an oblique injury, 4 to 6 weeks. Tari had an interesting last couple of days. I won't call it a shoving match. It's funny, we talked about Steven Adams being someone you don't want to mess with just on Friday.
Yeah.
And then his own teammate has a bit of a heated discussion. They put their hands on each other, nothing above the shoulders, but, you know, grabbing each other's jerseys, trying to. It's a fight, or at least a pushing, shoving match that Tari was obviously going to lose. I think they got those things cleared up, but now Tari's going to be gone for over a month. It's been a year where he shot the ball extremely well, surprisingly so. And it was a year where he let us know that he wanted more opportunities. And at least through jump shooting, he was gaining those opportunities, but now that'll go away. And that's unfortunate for him, as the shooting was at a miraculous pace, considering what he had been. We always expect the regression, but he, along with Reece Shepard, were providing the Rockets with big-time shot-making, at least shooting from the perimeter. And that's continued for Reece Shepard. He continues to shoot the ball well. The Rockets won last night against Orlando in a game where Orlando pretty much had to leave throughout. Paolo Banchero didn't play, so it was up to Franz Wagner to kind of carry the Magic offensively, and they play good defense. At least that's their calling card. They had not played well early defensively, but they had flipped that. That's why they were on a winning streak until they came into Houston. And if not for the heroics of Kevin Durant, the Rockets probably lose, and then Alpi got going in overtime. He was not great overall. I mean, he likes people call him Baby Jokic. Well, he was an inefficient player last night, unlike Jokic. But he came through when it mattered, had the last-second tying hook shot over Jonathan Isaac, and then the Rockets back and forth a little bit over time, and then they became a free-throw shooting contest, which they won. Because their strategy was, they're not going to let the Magic get up a three. The Magic did not have that strategy against Kevin Durant when they had a three-point lead. And I talked about it this morning. Wendell Carter's on them, Kevin Durant said, no switch, hey, Amon, don't set a screen. I don't want Desmond Bane coming up here. I believe that was who was guarding Amon at the time. But if you're the Magic, up three, of course, okay, Jamal Mosley, you don't want to foul. Fine. That's what Ime did. But if you don't want to foul, that's cool. But if you're Wendell Carter Jr., why aren't you playing Kevin Durant to get inside the arc? Like, Kevin Durant does a pullback to get open. There'd be no way I let that move happen. If you want to drive past me, go right ahead. Either you knock down a mid-range jumper, get to the rim for a dunk, or you have to, or hopefully my teammates, if I'm Wendell Carter Jr., are smart enough to know don't leave a corner three-point shooter. If the worst thing that happens is you score, we're up by one, that's fine. We can do the free throw shooting thing when you have to foul us because it's under 24 seconds. Why would you overplay the drive in a way that allows him to pull it back? Just let him go. He doesn't want to take a two. He's looking to set you up for that shot, and you gave it to him. I don't understand it. It benefits the Rockets, and the Rockets, Ime is from the play calls. He also made a good move because Desmond Bane, Leighton regulation, blew by Reed Shepard's setup. I think that the dunk that put the Magic up by three until the Kevin Durant shot. But when the Magic called a timeout, he yanked Reed Shepard off the floor.
Offense, defense.
And put Josh Okogie on. If I'm the Magic, Jamal Mosley. You got the guy out here who you want to attack. You just attacked him for an easy dunk. Don't call timeout. Put the ball in Desmond Bane's hand again. And if Reed's not on him, set a screen to get Reed Shepard on him. And if the Rockets are going to play zone on that final possession, okay, we'll see. We'll see if you can break them down and get a guy in the center of all the stuff you do to break down zones in the NBA. I didn't understand the Magic strategy, but I appreciated it. It helped the Rockets win. Is there food here? Because someone looked into the doorway, and I think they're offering cake. Looks like Sean got himself some food, but I'm on the air, so I didn't get it. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Don't give anything to Lance, though. Don't walk down the hall and give Lance anything. But
Colton's getting that.
Cool.
Better than Lance.
That's good. Better than Lance. So what are they actually giving us, Sean? What's in the bowl? Thank you.
Looks like some sort of cake. I don't know.
Mm. He likes some dessert.
Do you want me to taste it?
Taste your own, sure. There are two bowls, I think. Two plates.
There is two bowls.
Yeah, sure. You can taste it. Brandy, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. But Tar Eason out 4 to 6 weeks. That's unfortunate for him. The Rockets will
have... It's like a strawberry cake.
Oh, cool. So more opportunities for Josh Okogie and Reed Shepard. We'll see if that means Jason Tate gets more minutes as well, and we're still waiting on Dorian Finney-Smith, too. But the Rockets beat the Blazers in, what, cup action?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? And then they beat the Magic in just a regular old NBA game.
That was hard to even, get it up for that one. But
whoa.
You go from the heights of cup play.
Sure, but you could have picked different phrasing.
Get the excitement up.
There it is. Add a word, and then you're fine.
I thought that was understood.
I don't know how people use that phrase. I don't know. Not when it comes to basketball, unless you're trying to make the point you were trying to make. Get throwing exciting. A couple words you throw in there.
The vibes?
And then we have, get the vibes up. You throw in a word here or there, and it changes the meaning of everything. All right. Brandy, we'll get to you when we come back. Sorry you had to hear that filth from Sean. It's disrespectful is what it is. So, all right. We got a couple more seconds to go. We'll give away those Coug TCU tickets before we close it out. 713-780-3776 is a number to call us just to talk to us. And then at some point, you can use that number to win the tickets. If you want to follow Brandy on the phone, you can do that when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
Let's get to Brandy. She's been waiting. Brandy, what do you want to talk about? Sorry, I just saw what she wants to talk about. Hello, Brandy. Oh. Moment too big for Brandy. The summary was Eric's calls being the best. Now, for as much as we make fun of Eric for his trolling attempts, he is in some ways, I think, been in a very long-term relationship. Because he has had a woman under maybe a Kelly, a Jennifer, a Brandy call in for like a decade now. It's the same voice. So whoever this woman is, like he used to set it up like he was hanging out with strippers. And he also mentions tight ends and other places. So whatever. But this is the same woman who's called in for at least 5 to 8 years, maybe even longer than that. It's been a while. So maybe Eric's in a, maybe much like a lot of you, Eric's on online or on phone personality is very different than his real life. And somehow he's convinced this apparently sweet sounding woman to just call this show and other shows as well. Eric, next time you call in, we're having a conversation about this scenario. We've let you get this off far too long without actually having you talk about it. He thinks we don't know, but we do know. Brandy, if you want to call back in and explain why you do this for Eric, that's fine. Maybe he's a great provider. I don't know. Maybe it's part of the deal. Like, look, I set you up in this nice life, great family, but you got to call these stupid shows for me and make them think, or at least try to convince them that we are not connected at all. Okay, in 5 minutes, we will take your calls if you want to be someone who gets to go watch the Cougs play. They play TCU this Saturday. It is senior day. And you are going to get a chance to see a Cougs team who's on their way and still got some business to take care of from being 10-2 in Willie Fritz's second year in charge. Willie Fritz will actually join us tomorrow, at least the John and Lance show. He'll join them tomorrow at about 7:05. So if you want to hear from your head coach of your now nationally ranked Cougars, tune in for that. They're in the top 25 right now. And the game theme, as I said, it's the senior game. Come early. They'll be honoring their seniors for what they've done for the program. Tickets are starting just at $25. You can go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. Get there early, be loud, and wear red. But you're going to win a pair of tickets from us. Caller 4 at 11:30 wins a pair. 713-780-3776. If you want to see the Cougs versus TCU, caller 4, 11:30. Speaking of the Horned Frogs, boy, were they bad on Saturday night. It's the last game of the night of any interest. You've been up watching college football pretty much all day. So you tune in, you go, you know what? Let me take a look at 11th-ranked BYU versus TCU. Hoover's out there. See if he can put on a good show. Nah, that game was over from the jump. TCU had no interest and standing up to BYU's physical attack. 47, still a quarterback number I can't stand, but Bachmeier had his way. They just ran all over TCU. It wasn't a competition. It was just bad football. It was like that for the two Texas teams against two teams from the state of Utah. Baylor got their ass kicked the same way. Like, they could not hold up against Utah's running attack. Utah, like, top five in, like, offense and defense as far as some of the metrics. So they're kind of hiding in the weeds. We haven't really paid attention to them. They do have the win over Texas Tech, so maybe we should pay more attention to them. And they may see Tech in the Big 12 title game. So while we see Tech as this clear contender, a team who beat them, they could be seen again.
Tech beat Utah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Arizona State beat Tech.
Yeah. Screwed that up. I remember that because Morton got hurt. And then Texas Tech went on to win that game. You're right.
Did Texas Tech do any, like, we're Utah State champs? Did they puff their chest out like that?
I don't
that?
Know okay. if they did that. I don't know if they did that.
Because normally, you know, when they
but
the
no,
team will be like two teams from the
same state.
They go, oh, we're state champs.
Yeah, like we own the state of whatever. I don't know if they did that. Are they printing out shirts?
I wonder if they're saving their shirt printing for, you know.
You know, an actual Big 12 title.
Bigger and better stuff, yeah. Maybe Jacob Rodriguez Heisman.
Are they showing them throwing watchtowers in the garbage? We own that state.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that they're doing that. But I think they're too busy, as you said, trying to actually
do stuff.
Yeah. No, get Jacob Rodriguez Heisman. And watchtowers for Jehovah's Witnesses, not for Mormons. Just clean that up. A couple mistakes for me in this segment. But Jacob Rodriguez, if you missed it, he is the linebacker from Tech.
They're doing the J.J. Watt thing. they're trying to get him live.
It's embarrassing.
By playing him on all.
If you have gimmicky, get him touchdowns to get those stats up, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
I think they started it too late.
Yeah, but how many touchdowns would the off-ball linebacker have to score before we took it seriously? Like, all he did was come in, and so instead of handing it off to a running back inside the three-yard line, they did the Rodriguez cat.
Like four or five, I feel like.
If he scored four or five touchdowns, we would take it seriously?
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, there's like actual, including if they do it in like a close game, where you're like, okay, there's actually some utility to this.
But
like,
who was watching you against UCF?
Well, that's the issue. I think the issue is not what they're doing, because what they're doing, like, whatever, people have done this forever. How they're doing, like waiting until November 15th to do it. It's like, oh, wait a little too late to try to get these numbers
up. They've been so good, there have been few games of consequence where it was a big deal that he scored a touchdown. If you're trying to gimmick the system, no one's taking it seriously. In fact, all they do is see it as a gimmick. They don't take it seriously these touchdowns are consequential to what they're doing. Travis Hunter.
They gave it to a two-way player last year, Dell.
I was going to get to that. Travis Hunter, his two-way stuff was consequential to what Colorado did. Jacob Rodriguez scoring touchdowns against UCF ain't consequential to what Texas Tech is doing.
Yeah, they should have thrown him out there against BYU or something. At least to, like, you know, hey, everyone's watching this game. This is like a thing. So it's in people's mind of like, this is a thing they do when they're close to the end zone.
But even still, like, do I believe that he's the reason they're scoring those touchdowns when he's waltzing into the end zone?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I believe you could have put anyone back there who could move, who would have scored. Travis Hunter, as much as I don't want to give Travis Hunter all that much credit because of the Deion thing, it's more about the Florida State Deion thing more than Travis Hunter. Never give those, even ex-Noles, any credit. But at least when Travis Hunter was doing what he was doing, it meant the world to Colorado for him to perform on both sides.
Yeah, he was doing like, whatever, 80 snaps a game, 85 snaps a game.
And they needed him to be as good as they were. They don't need Jacob Rodriguez scoring touchdowns for it to matter to Tech. What he is a great off-ball linebacker, which means you should be campaigning for the butt kiss. And then if you don't get the butt kiss, you can whine and complain. But you know what? If you don't get the Butkus Award because you've been too busy trying to get the Heisman, you brought it on yourself. You know what? In fact, I'm not rooting against Jacob Rodriguez. I'm rooting against Tech to get that award.
To get the Heisman?
To Butkus, too.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was going to say, I think we can.
You ignored the award you actually have a real shot at.
Yes.
You should be sending out. Maybe they are. You should be sending out promotional material for the Butkus Award.
Yes.
The best player at that position. You should have a real chance to do that, to win that.
They're asking for too much for it to be taken
seriously. If you want to say best defensive player in the country, but best linebacker in the country, I'm with it. Mm-hmm. He creates turnovers. He's a part of a defense, of a contender. And he's a playmaker on that side of the ball. Yeah. Don't fake playmake me because you can give him a direct snap and he can walk into the end zone because your offensive line is clearing a path. You know what? You know what they should do? Like how they said, like, Russ was stealing rebounds. What they should do is allow the opposing linebacker free and let him go one-on-one. If he runs a guy over, then I'm more impressed.
Oklahoma drill.
Yeah. Have a missed assignment. So it's just him against the opposing linebacker. And if he gets through him, then I'll give him credit for his touchdowns. But if he's just going to waltz his way in and do an over-exaggerated Heisman pose, get it out of here. Stop it. Learn the Butkus pose. Do that. That's the award you should be shooting for, the Heisman. Stop it. First of all, it's a Texas Tech player. An off-ball linebacker, Texas Tech, is going to win the Heisman? What are we talking about? What are we talking about here? Like, it's so ridiculous that the quarterback at Indiana, who's played great, but this is what you're dealing with. An Indiana player who's a quarterback is far more likely to win it. That's where Texas Tech is in the realm of let's hype this guy, let's give him this award. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Not at that. Not for that award. Waste of time. Got me ranting about Jacob Rodriguez, who's a great player. Who's great at linebacker. And unless you're rushing the passer, you don't get Heisman.
Yeah. Well,
even if you did, you wouldn't get it.
Like, who's the last guy?
Yeah, no. Pass yeah. rusher. There's a like Sue made the was a finalist, right, at defensive tackle. I think he might have been a top five guy. Yes. Maybe he went to New York or something. But come on, man.
He was fourth. Fourth in 2009.
Like, when's the last time an off-ball linebacker was a top five Heisman candidate? I mean, what are we talking about? Like, if we just go through the voting of recent history or just overall.
Yeah, Manti Te'o.
In 2000. Was he like second?
2012, he was second.
Who did he play for, though?
Notre Dame.
Ah, okay. Not Tech?
No.
He played for a traditional power who always gets overhyped?
How many interceptions did Jacob Rodriguez have? Because Manti Te'o had seven.
I know he forces a lot of fumbles. I don't know how many picks he has on the season.
Only 1.5 sack for Manti Te'o. He was a true, like,
he's got Jacob Rodriguez linebacker. Has 4 picks, 7 forced fumbles.
Okay.
You know what that does? Puts you in line for the Butkus. Now, you got to juice those numbers by like 2 times as many as he has to become a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, I'm always struck by how many people vote for the Heisman. Just like how many total votes there are.
Yeah.
Manti Te'o got 321 first place votes.
Who won it that year?
Johnny Manziel with 474.
Yeah.
So that's 700
close.
Votes.
Yeah.
He wasn't but close. 300 writers in America.
I think some people just didn't want to vote for Manziel. I think that was a part of it, too.
Yeah. I mean, Colin Klein got 60 first place votes.
Yeah.
So. Marquise Lee, the wide receiver from USC, got 19.
Yeah.
He had a great year, but that's also wild to think 19 people were like,
thought he was the best player.
Heisman, Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on with people that just got like 1 or 2 votes, but it's crazy.
You know what? If he winds up in New York, all the power, all the credit, all more power to you.
But. Jarvis Jones, the linebacker from Georgia, got 1 first place vote, and 10 second place.
And he was a pass rusher.
Yes. He had 14.5 sacks.
The F are we doing here?
I mean, Clowney also got Heisman.
Overhyped before, well, I guess properly hyped before the year began. He had hype surrounding him before the year even started. All right, we'll go to break with that. The Texas Tech thing is a great story. Don't muddle it by doing this thing.
They could be the 4 seed.
Yeah.
How about that?
They're really good.
Let's get that. Let's get that going.
Promote having a bye. How about that? Somehow push having a bye, push not having a play in the first round, Say you're one of the best 4 teams in the country. I can get with that. All right. We gave away our tickets. The Cougs felt Jacob Rodriguez. He made a play in that game. I remember watching it and go, all right, that's a really good player. Man, Charlie Ward won a Heisman. You're going to give one to Jacob Rodriguez? Stop it. There's levels to this thing. We talk about Charles Woodson won a Heisman. Jacob Rodriguez going to win a Heisman?
Roquan Smith got the 3 first place votes.
I mean, if Mac Jones had won it, then I would agree.
Yeah.
In the Devontae Smith year, if Mac Jones had won it.
Well, I'm sure the 2020 Heisman had some weird votes.
Then I would have been like, you know what, Jacob Rodriguez, you got a reason to complain.
It's all pretty standard stuff. The only funny one is that 10th place with 7 second place votes and 10 third place votes was tied in for Florida, Kyle Pitts.
He was supposed to be generational.
Kyle Pitts got Heisman.
Kyle Pitts.
Zach Wilson got like 3 first place votes.
Man, I remember the Kyle Pitts stuff. He was supposed to be a generational tight end, and now he's dropping passes. Yeah.
I think Kyle Trask stole a lot of his votes.
Ah, Kyle Trask.
2020. What a weird year.
Yeah. Didn't like
for college football. Nothing else though.
Was that the year? Yeah. Nothing else weird happened. Was that the year like Florida wound up playing like Virginia in the Orange Bowl or something like that? I don't remember.
That was
the Aggies played North Carolina in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Another weird occurrence. Yeah. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll move around the NFL. We haven't talked a lot of NFL stuff beyond the Texans. We got spitting in Pittsburgh, broken wrist in Pittsburgh as well. Some things that might affect the Packers who aren't serious. That injury to Jacobs doesn't help their cause either. So we'll talk about the rest of the NFL when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So the Texans find a way in Tennessee. They win that game, so they're 5-5. They're in the hunt. That graphic, which we will see ad nauseum the rest of the way, they're in the hunt at 5-5. They join the Chiefs and the Ravens all at 5-5.
If they lose, I guess it depends what the Chiefs and Ravens do.
Yeah, they all lose.
I was
going to
say, if they lose on Thursday, are they just back out of the hunt?
No, because they would still be, now they would just drop to the third team in the hunt. Like, the graphic right now is only situated for three teams.
Yeah.
If they lose, they would drop to 5-6. And I think even if those two teams won on Sunday, if they both, yeah, they would both play, they would be 6-5 behind those two, and they'd be one game behind them. They'd still be in the hunt.
Yeah. There's a pretty big drop off.
You say that. I was talking to our intern out there. Like, this team has a bye upcoming.
No, the Dolphins.
But they have two bad teams kind of.
The Dolphins can play their way back.
They're
into
going
the hunt.
To if they look that yesterday's
graphic.
Game was
back onto the in the hunt
yeah,
graphic.
Horrific the game yesterday. They found a way to win. If
16-13,
hey, it happens.
Hey, that's how good teams win. It's true. It's how teams in the hunt win.
It's true. It's very true. If they win, they're next to the Saints and the Jets. I don't know if it's that order. Saints, I think.
Saints, then Jets.
After their bye.
Tyrod Taylor waiting for
They'll
you.
They'll be 6-7, and you will have to deal with that awful team in the hunt. A team who fired their GM. That would be 4 in a row. And then, you know, the graphics guys or woman, Scott, be like, do I really have to do this? Yeah. They're 6-7.
That's why I always wondered. How do they get the cutoff point for in the hunt? Like, do they have
to,
like, do they have to consult, like, the playoff machine prediction of, like, well, there's a 28% chance they make the playoffs. There's only 33 that the Texans, that's close enough. Let's just put them both in there. Like, or is it just a, like, we want to make it seem like it's wide open, so we'll put 12 teams in the hunt graphic?
If you're one game under 500 and you're within two games of the final playoff spot, I think you have to become a team in the hunt.
5-7, not in the hunt.
It all depends how the other team, like, if no team has more than 7 wins, like if the final wild card team has no more than 7 wins, I think you wind up on the list.
Okay.
It all depends on how the other teams are doing.
Yeah, it really, the AFC is crazy. Because, like, it is just like 9-2, 9-2, 8-2.
And a drop off.
And then 7-3. And then, yeah, you get into the Chargers, Jags.
And if the Chargers
really quick
actually had any offensive line play and they won against the Jags, it'd be 8-3,
yeah,
7-3, and then you'd be at 5-5. For, like, three teams would be at – or four teams would be at 5-5. But instead, the Chargers got their doors blown off. Justin Herbert, they pulled him in the fourth quarter of a game. They had no chance of winning. The Jags certainly responded after getting embarrassed in that fourth quarter here. So – if we play the game of if the playoffs started today, who's out? Chiefs, Ravens, and Lions.
And Texans.
There's levels to this.
They're in the hunt.
That's true. And they did make the playoffs last year. But as far as teams that were seriously considered Super Bowl teams outside of a Texans honk here or there in this town, it would be those three. And they would not be in the playoffs right now. First place, Bears.
First place, Bears.
The Packers found a way to beat the Giants and Jameis Winston, but they didn't look good. Josh Jacobs is hurt. There's some fear that he's going to be out. I don't know if they've had an official diagnosis for him, but there's fear he's going to be out quite a while now. It's a knee injury, so we'll see on him. And we've gotten word that CJ Stroud still in concussion protocol. Now, that can mean a couple things. Concussion protocol does not mean he isn't doing things currently, or at least the symptoms haven't subsided to a point where he can actually work his way back. But he is still in the protocol. Now, this would be going into his second full week in the protocol, because remember, it happened against the Jags, and we had the full week last week. So this is his second full week. If it lasts that long, and then considering it's a short week, it could be a third game that he misses with the Bills coming up. So we will see if protocol means he's one step closer, or he's still at the very beginning stages where he's still suffering from symptoms. Jalen Petrie's in that same protocol, too. He is not outside of protocol either. So you've got a couple guys who, I guess we all just assume That's one concussion. He'll be back, right?
Yeah.
Because CJ was able to get up, didn't have the fencing posture, you just assume.
Get back out there.
Yeah, him and Chandler Morris will just be back. Chandler Morris and his Cavaliers beat up on the Blue Devils to remove any of that potential disaster scenario the ACC was facing.
Someone's like, everyone made the talking point about how Duke can still make the ACC title game, completely forgetting that Duke is a terrible team.
And they will likely lose more games.
Yeah, that there's a terrible team.
Yeah, and they showed that on Sunday or Saturday. So D'Amico Ryan spoke. He said CJ and Jalen Petrie still in concussion protocol, but things looking good for Kyrie Fairbairn. So this is the news through a tweet from Landry Locker. So looks like you get your starting kicker back, still up in the air, and maybe we should just default to CJ and Jalen Petrie not going to be seen Thursday against the Bills. So it's up to Davis Mills again, who has done enough so far.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Chill Mills.
I'm not buying into that name, even though it exists.
Even though it's so chill?
Nope. Even though it rhymes is why I won't buy into it, because it's only there because it rhymes. Be more creative, everybody. But you credit him for coming through. In fact, let's hear from Davis Mills on the throw. The throw that kept the Texans alive, at least with possession on that third and long. He hits Nico Collins, and this is Davis Mills on the play and why you target Nico.
I mean, it's incredible having him on your team. Extremely reliable. Nico's going to make a big play if there needs to be one to be made. So when I looked out and saw that they ended up running cover two over there, they clouded his side. We had the perfect route called for it, and he was able to kind of find the honey hole behind the corner outside the safety, and I was able to deliver him a ball. But, I mean, it came down to also offensive line and backs and protection, doing their job, blocking extremely well throughout the game. And, I mean, that's just one play out of many that we did today to go out there and execute and chase of our goal.
I appreciate him giving credit to all those involved. You can take most of it. Yeah, he dragged. Yeah, Nico dragged his foot, sure. But you can take credit. You can take most of the credit. I don't do the credit cookies or credit pie thing, but I'm giving, let's say, 78% to the throw.
Okay.
Right over the hand, dropped down. And look, Nico did the thing he had to do, get his second foot in, but it wasn't like a toe tap. He dragged that foot across the field. And for a professional elite receiver, that's an easy catch. For Nico, it's an easy catch.
Yeah, for judging on a curve of like Davis Mills made that throw versus Nico Collins making that catch,
yeah,
it's more impressive that Davis Mills has that in him.
See, I don't want to do the curve thing. I think just standard throw catch protocols, the throw deserves 80% of the credit, and an NFL receiver should make that play. Now, Nico makes it look easier than most because he's Nico Collins, but an NFL player or receiver should make that play where that throw is placed. That's all.
See, I think I'd be a little bit more impressed if it was Xavier Hutchinson making that
play. I understand. I understand because you don't expect it. The lack of expectation.
Jared Wayne making that play. I'd be like, what the hell is he doing on the field?
Why is he on the field in a gotta-have-it situation? Yes. Why is he out there?
Why is this happening?
Yeah. Hey, you thought the Jalen Noel snap distribution was a problem, or Noel, excuse me, was a problem. Why is Jared Wayne out there and
toe tapping?
And he's the number one target on the play.
Yeah.
So I get
toe drag swag with Jared Wayne.
I get what you're saying, but I'm gonna give Davis Mills his just due because big time throw, gotta have it. He made it.
Doesn't sound like he wants the credit, so I won't give it to him.
I understand. He's
out of respect for Davis Mills. I won't give him credit.
He's a humble guy. Understood. He
so laid back.
And a quarterback, it's very different from, you know, everyone did their part to make sure the goal happened as opposed to, hey, I'm one of the best there is when I get rolling. Now, it's different scenarios, but I don't imagine Davis Mills ever says that.
When Davis Mills gets rolling, he is one of the best. When he's really getting rolling.
In that stadium on that day, sure, he's one of the best.
Last week's fourth quarter. Once he got rolling.
He got rolling.
There's no quarterback I would take other than Davis Mills to lead that comeback.
Congratulations. Because I don't want to give context to your joke, honestly. I understand what you're doing there. But
when he's rolling, he's really good.
But he wouldn't say it.
No.
It's not something he would say.
No.
It's not part of his personality. Either way, rolling into Thursday night against the Bills. Because just expect Davis Mills to be out there one more time.
Yeah. Easy dub.
Does he get put on the graphic?
Oh,
Prime, did they put him on the, or did they put, who do they put Will Anderson on the graphic?
I think they put Will Anderson on it.
They got to, right?
I got a little too Davis Mills excited for a split second. I pictured it in my head of
Has he played Josh Allen
on one side.
Has he
Davis
played well
Mills?
Enough to be
no
on the opposite side of Josh Allen?
I think if they won the game the exact same way against the Titans, but it was 36-33 instead of 16-13, okay, maybe. Just the act of scoring three more touchdowns would have been more impressive, but because it was a one-score game at halftime, and by that I mean 3-0 at halftime.
3-0,
That was Chris Myers made that joke. He was like, we said it would be a one-score game. We didn't think it would just be one score the whole game. I was like, thanks, Chris Myers.
Well,
thanks for waking me up to make that joke.
I was in the
Chris
middle
Myers. No, I wouldn't say he's exactly Gus Johnson.
Yeah, no. It was 3-0, and then the Titans on their first drive of the second half made it 6-0, and then of course the Texans responded with 13 straight points.
That's what woke
they actually did score on three straight drives.
Yeah,
one of the drives helped by a fumble by Cam Ward that led to a field goal.
This team is physical. This team they'll hit, they'll do all that. A lot of these guys in the NFL are just playing for a check.
Thanks, Kirby Mapes. I was thinking about this. Do you think, because we watch how he celebrates, do you think Azeez Al-Shaair would prefer to give up a 15-yard gain but get a near headshot or get a shoestring tackle for a 1-yard gain?
I mean, we know the answer.
Because I'll watch him sometimes and didn't have much against the Titans because why would it? But there are times where where it won't be his fault, but there'll be a play that goes for a first down or a sizable chunk. But he gets a kill shot.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he does the slam into the head, much like Kamari Lassiter does. I'm like, wait a minute. It's a first down. If you want to do that for a 3-yard gain, all right. But your team just gave up a first down. Relax.
No, he loves the hit stick.
I know he does. I know he does. It's like he plays CFB 26.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
All he wants to do is hit a guy really hard, no matter what the end result of the play is. That music means we're done for the day. Your Texans are 5-5. They're going to try to go to 6-5, it looks like, with Davis Mills. We'll see if C.J. Stroud progresses. But right now, expect Davis Mills to play quarterback for you against the Bills. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. We'll try to do it again tomorrow. Join us.